from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there, and welcome to the rewrap for Friday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast on News Talk ZB in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB, and this morning, Labour's big families policy announcement yesterday, what Mike thinks of all that. The one and only Sir Paul McCartney on the show, where else would he go? We'll mark the week, because that's what we do on Fridays, even when we have Sir Paul McCartney on, and disturbing bear news for this time of year. But before any of that, did you see Seven Sharp last night?
You and Tony are Seven Sharp. No one else will be Seven Sharp, but that's a story for another day. It's very nice of you to say that. Well, I think you both did an awesome job, says somebody else on the old Facebook. Tony, because she's Tony, and Mike, because you really got people talking. Some cursed him, some applauded him, but whichever way you look at it, the more people that talk about a certain television program, the better, especially from a ratings point of view. That is true, actually. Good on you, Mike, for getting a few heckles up. Your annoyingness is essentially, probably, the key to Seven Sharp's success at the end of the day. Another one, I miss you. I will miss your smile and warm personality. Oh, no, that's Tony. That's not, no, it's not me, it's Tony. Your cynicism and reality checks, Mike. Seven Sharp won't be so sharp without you, Mike. Most hated or most loved, you are always the most.
So, you know, at the beginning of the show where you said, I don't want to make this all about me, and then you've just gone on to just read an endless procession of emails telling you how great you are.
Glenn, what you know about me is I am a servant of the people. And if the people speak, I'm their instrument to put it out there. That's all I can say. What more can I say?
Humble Hosk, that's what we call him. Humble Hosk. Now, he, of course, it was a busy day for Mr. Hosking yesterday, but he did notice the fact that Labour did a big launch of their social policy.
$15 billion, eh? $15 billion. It's a bucket load of money, and even spread out over several years. You can't hide the fact the government has thrown pretty much the kitchen sink at their families' policies. The claims or aims are bold. 88,000 out of poverty. If they can prove that, it'll lead to tangible political support. But there are a couple of seriously big question marks around all of this. They've spent the lot. There's about $600 million left over for everything else. And $600 million, in government terms, is literally nothing. It can simply vanish if the forecasts are wrong. If the growth slows, even the slightest amount, if a budget blows out. It's not dissimilar, I guess, to you having 10 bucks till the end of the week and you haven't bought the milk. You might make it, you might not. And the forecasts, which are part of yesterday's big announcements, were interesting. Immigration, massive grey area, mainly because it drives growth, of course. Now, if the government cut the numbers, growth stalls. If migration stalls on its own volition, growth stalls. They also worry about construction. This promise to build 100,000 houses looks fanciful now. It's already pushed out to 2019, which means 20,000 houses will be pushed into 8 years, so it's 100,000 houses in 8 years. Do the math. Then look at the forecasts around capacity, the cost of construction and labour, and that is a rabbit too hard to pull out of any hat, I would have thought. But, and here's what makes the government great or not, this is bold. It's big. It's big and it's bold. It's classic Labour. It's redistribution 101. The quality of the spend, though, has to be questioned. I mean, when you shower money, which is what they're doing, you waste money. They have to be praying that things go their way in terms of income. And here's the other issue. Having coughed it all now, there is nothing left to twist arms with later. This is your Christmas. These are all the toys and all the presents. Short of us striking oil, we've done the budget. It's over. So when the sugar wears off and the winter chill arrives, the jar's empty. It is a massive political risk.
Yeah, you do worry that when we open those toys and presents that some of the batteries might go flat faster than we thought, and some of them might already be broken and won't start the way that we had hoped. Could be wrong. Hope we're wrong. Hey, Sir Paul McCartney was on the show. You know, the Beatle.
So I'm reading all the reviews out of Australia, people loving the shows, because very long shows. I mean, you're talking like, I don't know, 2.5, 3 hours worth of show. But given what you've got to offer, the pack, you know, the back catalogue, how on earth do you decide what to put in? I mean, because you could play for like 9 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a bit knackering. Yeah, you know, what I do is I actually sit down before the tour and just think, if I was going to the show, what would I want to see? What would I want to have happen? And there's certain songs that I would think, oh, yeah, I'd want to see that. I'd want him to do that. I want the band to play that. So those kind of start the list. And then you go down from there and you think, well, what would I personally like to play for people, you know. And I, you know, what else would I like to fill it out with? And what new numbers would I like to play? And what unusual numbers would I like to play? And, you know, in the end, of course, a lot of it for the audience, the songs they know the best, really, unless they're young. The young crowd know the more contemporary things, like 4 or 5 seconds. Some of the older people don't know those. They like the Beatles stuff. So we do a mix. And, you know, I'm trying to make the crowd happy. Because, as I say, you know, it's I don't want them going away thinking, oh, that wasn't worth it.
I don't think that's going to happen. From everything that I've seen, I think Paul McCartney does quite a good show. It's almost like he's been doing it for a while and knows how to make a crowd happy. Let's mark the week now. That makes our crowd happy on Fridays.
Time now to mark the week. The little piece of news and current affairs that may not heat you in winter, but it warms the mind. The government family package 7. It's big, it's classic Labor, and it's risky. They've thrown all the pocket money at it. They've emptied the cupboards, and they're praying the forecasts aren't wrong. Canned tomatoes, 4. There is no goodwill to be gained by looking like you're whining. It's incomprehensible that cans of tomatoes can become such an issue that you would want to highlight it and thus do your service a disservice. And we didn't even get to the chickpeas. Raylene Castle, 8. Another great week for New Zealander in Australia as she heads the Australian rugby now. I much admired her comments, you know, about the glass ceiling that so many people banged on about. Just judge her, she said, as a sports administrator, not a woman. And the more of that sort of thinking, the better. Dunedin Easter Trading, 7. The council voted yes this week, as indeed they should have. Choice is a part of modern age, and the idea that the world is 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, lives on only in the minds of the unionists. Look-see, build, 8. That's it. Look-see, build, great idea. Standout success. 13,000 applications from Britain to come here and work. We are a jobs magnet. The first post-vote poll, 4. Well, that's if you're Labour. No bounce, no honeymoon. They're still not as popular as the guys across the other side of the house. That's got to be a worry. The America's Cup, more numbers. This time, $200 million in retail. 3.2% boost to the economy. A rich man's sport, 9. 9. Or a sport of prosperity for all of us. David Seymour. David Seymour this week. Glenn, settle down. David Seymour this week, 9. A very good week on euthanasia. He's been big and consistent on it all the way. And at last, he looks like he's getting some traction. And New Zealand First are right on this one. We need a referendum. The politicians have proved they are as dodgy as on this particular one. Roy Moore, 3. Yeah. Tell you what, for a Christian, he was remarkably unchristian, don't you think, in putting himself before his party. And look where that got him and them. Lance O'Sullivan, 7. A future political rock star, I think, and he's spot on in saying he only wants the top job in the Maori Party. If they dump that dumb dual leadership thing they've got going, the Greens might want to pay attention to that as well. Bitcoin, 7. Mainly for the noise and the intrigue. Isn't it amazing, eh? Isn't it amazing how people can still pile onto something even if they have little or no comprehension of what they're piling on to? Rod Duke, 7. Who knew that having a helicopter is such a hassle? Hashtag First World Trumps. And that's our week. Copies on the website. And this, if part of NCEA Level 3, would rank in difficulty somewhere between Latin, dance, trigonometry, and morning tea.
Well, there you go. There's a little pre-Christmas treat for you. It's not often managed to fit in an entire Mark the Week, even on a Friday. But, you got one today. I was a bit distracted because of this whole beer situation. What do you mean you haven't heard?
We're drinking all the beer. I've had one beer.
This is a major, major emergency.
This is unbelievable and has not got the coverage it deserves.
Did you hear Larry interviewing the lady from Lion Breweries last night?
I did not.
He was in he's panicking.
So he should.
Now, I worry about his health. He's under serious stress now that he
would be our biggest drinker, wouldn't he? Because Leighton's huge.
Yeah, they're both fine examples. Yeah. I'm trying to emulate as hard as I possibly can.
Mark is obviously not so.
But if you're not familiar with the story, basically, we did not anticipate that our weather was going to be, nice.
Yes.
And so people drinking more beer as a result. And as a result, we're running out. Oh, my God, it's the end time.
Sales are up 20% compared with a year ago. There are supplies. So not only can't we get petrol, This country's buggered. We can't get the petrol and we can't get the beer. What's the point of living?
It's a hard thing. I've been trying to stockpile too. I mean, I've been effectively stockpiling it in my tummy. But it's not as much use to me there as I thought it was going to be, you know, for later on. Anyway, I'm just going to have to stick to spirits, I guess. I am Glenn ZB. That was the rewrap for Friday. There won't be a Friday one next week, but we will do some of these things on Thursday. I'll see you then, and I'll see you Monday too. It's all very confusing. I need a drink.